We would like to thank Karen and Jake Avalevis for sponsoring this morning's Locks Learn Le'ili Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Le'ab and Abba and Le'ab Asavram, and Karen's brother Yeshua ben Shimon Dov, their neshama should have an aliyah, as well as to Sarah and Irving Piasek for sponsoring in loving memory of Irving's beloved mother, Golda Bas Yitzchak, Aranka Piasek, on the occasion of her yortzeit, their neshama should have an aliyah. We are starting a new chapter. This is the sixth chapter of Pirkei Avos, as we are about to see and explain. This chapter is fundamentally different than the previous five. The previous five were Mishnayos. This is a series of Brisos. The difference will become clearer as we go further. But fundamentally, in terms of why this parak was added, what the content of this parak is, what the theme of this parak is, that's part one of what this shiur is going to be. And then part two will begin to explicate this brisa. I will probably at certain points say Mishnah by accident, you'll forgive me, but again, it's not a Mishnah, it's a brisa. It's a different type of teaching, but not that different that you would know that if we didn't make it clear. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to start the introductory sentence, and then we're going to start the Mishnah without going through the entire... I said it, there you go. Not even... Didn't have to wait 10 seconds. Brisa. And then we're going to start the Brisa, and then we are not going to finish the entire thing because, as you can see, it's pretty long, and that is one of the differences, is that these Brisos are longer than our Mishnah. Our Mishnayos were usually pretty pithy and straightforward. These seem to list lots and lots and lots of things along the way, making the Brisa slightly longer. So let's read the introductory statement, the beginning of the Brisa, and then we'll get to, in future weeks, the rest of the brisa. So the introductory statement is as follows: Shanu chachamim bilshon haMishnah. The sages taught in the language of the Mishnah. So right there, you have a hint that this isn't a Mishnah; it's the language of the Mishnah. And so this is spoken in the language of the Mishnah. Baruch shebachar bahem uve Mishnah sam. Blessed be he who chose them and their teaching. So we have an introductory statement, right? This is what we're about to read is like a Mishnah, and it's awesome, right? This is great, you know, a blessing of how great Torah and Torah scholars are. So that's the introduction, and part of the Mefarshim. If you look here in Rashi here, just do one, there's a few who say this, but Bilshon HaMishnah, Kilomar Braisahi, right? It's a Braisa, it's not a Mishnah. Uvilshon haMishnah, but it's using the language of the Mishnah. Uvilshon haMishnah Shnu, it's taught in the language of the Mishnah. Avalina Mishnah, but it's not officially a Mishnah. So what is this difference between a Mishnah and a Brisa? So for this, we're actually going to do a little bit of cheating. And I think the easiest way to bring out the point and also show you something you can look up on your own if you want is just to go to Wikipedia. So on Wikipedia, it tells you what a brisa is and how it's different than a Mishnah. So a brisa is literally translated as external or outside. Brita or britot, britha, brita, brisa. Okay, so you can say it any way you want to say it. It designates a tradition in the Jewish oral law not incorporated in the Mishnah. Brisos thus refers to teachings outside of the six orders of the Mishnah. So we have Shas Mishnayos, which are six categories of Mishnah. There's, I believe, 63 or so different Mishnayos that are in there. And those were all chosen as being the canon of Mishnah. But the whole purpose of Mishnah was to take lots and lots of different teachings and sort of codify it into clear, precise, pretty straightforward language. But in that process, keep in mind, there are lots of things that were left out, right? So if you're editing a text, if you're editing statements of the sages, which is what Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi did, he's editing and he's compiling the Mishnah, remember there are going to be things that are going to be left out. So a brita is external, outside. It's from that same corpus of literature, of Mishnaic era, right? It's things from the times of the Mishnah that didn't make it into the Mishnah, so they're now outside. So we still have some of those, many of those are compiled in, again, different books called brisos. Occasionally, lots of times, if you go through a Gemara will quote a Mishnah and then say, Tanya, we learned in a brisa. A brisa is just, again, a related, almost a cousin of a Mishnah. It's the same era, same people talking, same types of stuff going on, but it just didn't make the Mishnah. So with that, keep in mind, that's what's going on in Perkei Avos here. We have five Mishnayos. They made the cut. They were part of the corpus of Mishnayos. And then there are the sixth chapter is these external outside sources that are still part of Chazal, still from the sages, but didn't make the official cut of the Mishnah, but are still awesome to learn. So now the question becomes, so why is the custom to add this on to the five chapters in the Mishnah Perkei Avos? Right? We usually don't do this. When we learn Mishnah, we learn Mishnah. We don't learn Brisos. Brisos you could learn, but they're external, they're outside. Here we have this interesting, strange case where within the context of standard Mishnah study, the custom has become to add on, tag along this chapter of Brisos, of these outside sources. So now the question is going to be, why is that? Why did that happen? Okay, so let's go back to Rashi, and then we'll see, a beautiful source in the Chassid Yavit. So Rashi here again says, B'loshon Mishnah Klamar Brisa. It's not Mishnah, it's the language of the Mishnah, but it's really a Brisa. B'loshon Mishnah Hishnu Yaval, ain't a Mishnah, not a Mishnah. U'mashon Rabbi Meir Omer, and this we're about to read, this first Brisa of Rabbi Meir Omer, V'lfisha Ad Achshav. Until this point, all the first five chapters, Kol HaPrakim Mishnah, everything was for a Mishnah. So L'ficha Chutzrach L'odia Shemikan Ve'elach Braisehi. So we need this introductory statement that we started off with to say, different. Until this point, five chapters of Mishnah. Now, moving forward, this chapter is going to be Braisa. U'mitoch Shalalu Divrei Haggadah Hein U'misapros Be'esek Talmud Torah. And because this sixth chapter, now we're getting a little bit of a hint, what's this sixth chapter about? It talks about learning of Torah. That's why it's eventually, I'm giving a hint here, it's going to be called Parakinyan Torah. It's about how you acquire Torah. So we're going to talk a lot about Torah in this chapter, which makes it pretty cool for Shavuos. Nagula Omran Bebesa Knesses Imshar Prakim Alalu Shal Maseches Avos. So because it talks so awesomely about Torah, so we say this with the other chapters that we say in the Shul of Perkei Avos. What Rashi did not allude to, or this version of Rashi, as we've seen, we're not so sure if Rashi wrote this or not, but what Rashi is alluding to here is that there was a custom, I think we said this in the first year, taking us back 4 years. Is it 5 years by now? 4 years? I think it's four complete years, so we're starting our fifth year at this point. What Rashi is alluding to here is that there is a custom to say Perkei Avos in Shul. There are different customs as to when to say Perkei Avos in Shul. The most famous custom is that you say it in between Pesach and Shavuos because it's a build-up. You're preparing for Shavuos. This is going to be important for our next source, is that the Perkei Avos is about character and Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. You have to work on your character before accepting the Torah. So it's a custom to read Perkei Avos from Pesach to Shavuos in Shul on Shabbos. There are other customs as well. There are customs that say you read it throughout the summer. There are even customs that say you read it throughout the entire year. You read it on Shabbos, in Shul, throughout the entire year. So Rashi is not telling you which custom he's alluding to here, but the custom that he's referencing is that there was a custom to read it in Shul. And because, this, he doesn't mention Pesach to Shavuos, just keep that in mind. Right, he says, there's a custom to read it in Shul, and because, nothing to do with character, but because this talks about Torah, and Torah is awesome, we're going to add it to Perkei Avos. Doesn't really explain, right? There's no thematic explanation here. He's basically saying, we like this because it talks about Torah, so we're going to add it to Perkei Avos. It's lacking something. So here's, look in the next source, the Yavetz. He's going to pull this together and make a little bit more of a conceptual argument as to why this was added on to the five chapters of Pirkei Avos. So the Yavetz says as follows: Shanu Chachamim Bilshon HaMishnah. HaTorah Lo Tishkon Ki Im Berekan Mimidos Raos. The Torah is not going to settle. It's not going to be internalized by someone unless they have expunged bad character traits from them. umale midos hachashuvos, and they have filled themselves up with proper, important, glorified character traits. So we have to get rid of bad character traits, incorporate good character traits in order to acquire Torah. Ulezek kiven Hashem isbarach va'amar hayu nechonim l'sholshes yamim al tikshu ala isha. V'chein kibus habgadim shi'itaru min ha'tuma v'lichluchim hamonim es ha'nefesh mihasagasa. So now we already have a reference to Kabbalah HaTorah. When we accepted the Torah, we had to prepare physically, mentally, spiritually. You had to prepare your character, right, your personhood, in order to be able to acquire the Torah. You can't just get Torah. You have to work on something beforehand. V'chol ha'prakim ha'kodmim l'zeh, all the previous five chapters, Malay Midvarim Hashuvim, Mikarvim Esha Nefesh Libora Umaorim Osola Avodaso. The first five chapters of Perkei Avos, what were the themes? The themes, it was filled with things that perfected the Nefesh, the soul, brought it closer to God, awakened motivation to serve God. Okay, now we have an allusion to the particular minhag that we referenced before. The reason why we read these chapters of Perkei Avos in between Pesach and Shavuos and leading up to Shavuos is kidei she is oru la'anshe kodesh rachmei alokim asher kara la'avosinu bezman hazeh v'aflahem atzman. So it's a patterning off of the fact that we need to build up and develop ourselves in order to acquire and receive the Torah. So the first five chapters of Perkei Avos, which helps build our motivation, build our character, build our love to God, will then allow us to accept the Torah on Shavuos. Okay, so that's why we read the first five chapters. Why'd you add a sixth chapter? So he says, V'zeh ha'perek, kulo me'orer al cheshek ha'torah v'ahavasa. This entire perek is about love of Torah and desire for Torah. Va'af al pi shebishar prakim ba mizeh harbe ze ein bo davar acher. Leido lodia ki hu atachlis haprachim hakodmim umitoch dvarav hamesulaim bepaznis ora liknos es haTorah mitzuraf el zman vein safek ela shebizeh azman ne yoser muchanim lekabel kol davar me'avodasa yishbarach Hashem yishbarach yoser mizman acher. So he says, towing a line here. The first five chapters, he already said his primary thesis was that it was about development of character, development of motivation. The sixth chapter is all about Torah. So he says it's, on one level, it's fundamentally different. Because the previous chapters, even though that incorporated some level of Torah is great, Torah is awesome, right? We had some statements incorporated within that, it wasn't really the primary theme. So we're building off of, there was character, motivation, some Torah involved in the first five, and now the sixth is all Torah. Now we're ready to accept the Torah. So it's almost like you can read, I think this is what he's saying, you can read it as the first five chapters are almost culminating. We add this sixth chapter to symbolize that the first five were culminating to the acceptance of a Torah chapter, right? This sixth chapter is Torah. Right? This is Kinyan Torah. So you're building up and capping it with this sixth chapter. Ulezen nikrazeh perek Kinyan Torah. And that's why this chapter is called the chapter of acquiring Torah. Masha yilbash mi'amidos ha'chashuvos kodem bo bebris ha'torah. We've already worked on, halavai, right? But we've already worked on the development of our character in the first five chapters. So tavo kamayim bekirbo via osik b'torah shema. Now I'm ready to learn the Torah with the proper motivation and character. Ka'omram al bas kalba savua, eshas Rabbi Akiva, chazi dahavu tzaniya, amra as kadish lecha amanah shetelech lebe rav. For us, Sofos Rabbi Akiva and ties it into the story with Rabbi Akiva and his wife. And that's why we go into, he says the parak starts with the student of Rabbi Akiva. I'm not going to get into Rabbi Akiva and his student right now. That's not the main point. But the point here is that you have the five chapters build character. Sixth chapter is acquisition of Torah. Okay, so that's why we add this on. Now, there's one still question, which he did not address primarily. But the Derech Chayim, the Maharal, addresses it a little bit, and that is a question of timing, right? So if you, let's read the Maharal inside. I think it's worth the time. It's a little bit long, but I don't know if we're going to read the whole thing, but I think it's worth it. He's going to parallel the Yaivitz's point. Again, so main point right now is first five chapters is character, sixth chapter is Torah. The Maharal is going to talk along those lines and give it a little bit of a different spin. So let's see the Maharal inside. Shanu Chachamim, HaPerek HaZeh Einu Min HaMishnayos. Again, this is not a Mishnah. Ki HaMishnayos Einu Rak HaMisha Prakim Bavad. It's the five chapters of the Mishnayos. Moshe Kibal Torah Misinai, that's the first one. Perek Rebbe Omer, that's the second Mishnah. Perek Akabi Ben Mamahalal Omer, that's the third Mishnah. Perek Ben Zoma, that's the fourth Mishnah. Uperek Basara, ten statements of the world was created. That's the fifth Mishnah. So we have five chapters. Veishachal Adas, ki elu achamisha prakim, sam hatana kineged chamisha chumshe Torah. It's a beautiful idea. The first five chapters of Perkei Avos correlate and correspond to the five books of the Torah. Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bim, and Dvarim. Shekmosha Torah yesha chamisha chumshim, just like we have five Chumashim, kach yesh chamisha prakim b'derech eretz shem divrei Moser. So you have five chapters of Torah and five chapters of what's the essence? This is why this is so important. What's the essence of Perkei Avos? So according to the Maharal, and we saw this alluded to already in the Yaivitz, is that the essence of Perkei Avos is to learn derech eretz, the ways of the world, the ways how to behave, proper character, which is ethical, moral, and character development. Kim ein Torah ein derech eretz, as we saw explicitly in the Mishnah, famous idea. Without Torah, there's no derech eretz. Ve'im ein derech eretz ein Torah. If there's no derech eretz, there's no Torah. So there's this symbiotic relationship between character and Torah. And reference that Mishnah if you want to go on why Torah. We spoke about that in detail. If you want to see how we played that out, it's an interesting Mishnah. Lefichach tluyim ze bezeh, they correspond to each other. That's the parallel. You have the Chumash, five Chumashim, five chapters of Derech Eretz and Musar. Torah, Derech Eretz. Torah, Derech Eretz. You have five and five. Lefichach tluyim ze bezeh. B'shnei advarim shem tluyim ze bezeh. Roi sheyu nechshav ze kezeh. So again, there's a corresponding relationship. And that teaches us one to the other. Lekach sam chamisha prakim b'derech eretz gam kein. So it was actually done purposefully that there's only five chapters of Perkei Avos and five chapters of Chumash. Well, that actually just raises the question even more, right? If there's five chapters of Chumash corresponding to the five chapters of Perkei Avos, so why would we add a sixth chapter? Right? You're breaking the correspondence. So Bereishis begins with stories of generations from one to the next. Connected to Matzka Moshe Kibal Torah, and you actually he's following the parallel here. The same in the beginning of Moshe Kibal Torah Misinai, first Mishnah in Perkei Avos. You have a correspondence of generations, one generation to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. And the truth is, all the first chapter and part of the second chapter is the same thing. This guy received it from this guy, received it from this guy. It's a tradition. It's a passing on generation to generation. That's how Chumash starts as well. Umisbar kol haperek hemshach hakabbalah divrei Moser zemi ze ad sof haperek. And that's what happens in Perkei Avos, one generation to the next. Ulefichach haprakim heim chamisha v'chol hamisha prakim divrei be'inyan ha-moser bilvad. The five chapters, this is a broad, almost an overstatement, but important to highlight. What Maharal is saying is that the five chapters in Perkei Avos are just about, loosely we'll call Musar ethics and behavior and how to shape behavior, how to shape thoughts, how to shape emotions, right? It's the internal. So he starts off with a broad general statement. It's all Musar. And then he says, like the Yaivitz, sort of backpedaled also. In some scattered places in Perkei Avos, it talks about the importance of Torah. But it's not essential. It's secondary. It comes up as a tangent. It's a very important statement. Perkei Avos is not about Torah. It's about character. It's about ethics. You find some Torah there. Yes, Maharal is saying, but that's secondary to the point of Perkei Avos, which is character. Ulekach bezos habraisa ba levar mailas hatorah. So now he's setting the stage. So now our sixth chapter, which we've already framed, has to be fundamentally different because the five parallels the five. Now we have a six. So what's the sixth? So this set of braisos is coming to explain the importance, the elevated status of Torah, kidei lekasher haTorah im derech eretz legamrei, to now actually pin everything together. Right? Remember, it's not separate. Even though we have a parallel, it's five and five, Torah derech eretz. Well, we need a pin to bring it all together, and that's why this sixth chapter caps it all and sort of solidifies it, puts the ties everything in one place. So the Torah now is the capstone to the Derech Eretz that you've been developing for five chapters. The Chol HaBraisa Azos HaKol Nemar Al HaTorah. This whole chapter is about Torah, Uladia Kimalas HaTorah Al Derech Eretz, and to show that Torah is the end goal of where we want to get to. The Derech Eretz on its own is important, but it's important as a means to the end of Torah. Okay, so I think we're going to stop the Derech Chaim, the Maharal, over here. You could read the rest on your own if you want. He elaborates a little bit more, but I think I think the main point is made. What he doesn't say, and I'll just add it here, is that there's also a timing issue. Right, so let's go back to the essence, the conceptual essence of what we're saying, is that we're developing character in order to accept and build and get to the Torah. So if you start, now go with the custom that you start on Pesach. Right, so we have a custom to start on Pesach and go to Shavuos, and we read one chapter a week. Right, so what's the problem? There's only five. Right, five chapters, but six weeks. Right, there's 7 weeks, means six Shabbases. So some commentaries explain that this was added on in addition to what the Maharal is saying, in addition to what the Yavetz is saying. Conceptually, it makes sense that this is the capstone. You're building up to this last week. But this last week was also added just so that you have a sixth week. You have, if you only have five chapters, you're gonna have an added extra week. But I think what's important here is if you take this framing, is that this last what we were supposed to be in terms of the custom to read, and what we're this coincidentally happens to work out beautifully this year. What we're doing is that this week, the sixth week, is a build-up to Shavuos. So we've worked 5 weeks as character. This sixth Kinyan HaTorah is all about the importance of Torah. So it's actually a beautiful segue as we build up. Like you're pumping yourself up. We've worked so hard. We've worked through the character. And now we're getting excited for the Shavuos aspect in terms of that acceptance of the Torah. And that's what this whole chapter is about. It's all about the importance and the awesomeness of what Torah is. So with that introduction, to know that this whole chapter is about Torah, let's go back and just read literally two lines of this whole braisa. This is just one braisa. There's a whole chapter of this type of stuff to get a feel, bring out one idea as to the importance of Torah and living a life of Torah, but also Torah study, which is the essence of what we're talking about here. So we go to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir Omer. So this is starting part two of this year. Rabbi Meir Omer. Kol ha'osek b'Torah l'shma zocha l'dvarim harbe. Whoever occupies himself with the Torah for its own sake, l'shma. And what we're going to do over the next half hour or so or less is explain what lishma means, or at least try to explain what lishma means, for its own sake. If you learn Torah for its own sake, then you merit many things. What are these many things that you merit? So it's a little bit unclear, and this we'll speak about more next week when we do this. But we'll if you now continue the Mishnah briefly, just to see where it goes, is v'lo od ela shekola olam kulo kedai hu lo. Not only that, but the whole world is like it was enough that the world was created just for this person who learns Torah Lishma. And then it keeps going. He's called beloved, friend, one that loves God, one loves humankind, one that gladdens God, gladdens humankind, clothes him in humility, reverence, etc., etc., etc. A whole host of beautiful, wonderful things. Somebody who learns Torah Lishma. So, as we'll see in the commentaries, some understand we'll see this next time, some understand when it says merit many things, it means it's almost like a running sentence. It merits many things, meaning you get all the things we're about to mention, which is you're beloved and the whole world is created for you, etc. Others say no, it's referring to you get a lot of cool stuff, doesn't say what that cool stuff is, and then add on, below, oh, not only do you get all that cool stuff, you also get, you know, like a bonus prize of all this other things. So either way, for our purposes, before we get into those nitty-gritty details next week, for our purposes here is that the context of this brisa, what it's saying is learning Torah Lishma is amazing, awesome. It's what we're supposed to be doing, and it comes along with all these bonus prizes if you learn Torah Lishma. So the question that we're going to address is, what is Torah Lishma? Learning Torah for its own sake. That's what Kinyan Torah is all about. This whole chapter, Brisa, is about learning Torah. And the pinnacle is learning Torah Lishma. So what is that all about? So let's start off with seeing one source, which is going to bring us on a trail of sources to do review, chazara, from a previous Mishnah. So the first source we're going to see is Rav Matisyahu HaYitzhari. The sixth chapter of Pirkei Avos here writes, Remeir Omer Kol Osik B'Torah Lishma Zoch L'Dvarim Harbe Shehem Osam Shemona V'Holech. So he takes the stance, as I alluded to, is that the things you get is the rest of the Brisa. And so leave that aside for next time we speak. But now, Nikra Re'ah, Hu Lishma HaMitas. So what is this real Lishma, for the sake of heaven? It's a very vague, abstract concept. What does it mean? We're going to see there's different opinions here. So he understands, Rav Matisyahu HaYitzhari says, Shulekayim mitzvos hakel yisparach. Lishma means that you are learning in order to fulfill the mitzvos. Ulahasig kavanaso bibriyaso hamin ha'enoshi. Now this is pretty philosophical and again even more abstract. So A, I'm learning Torah for the sake of fulfilling mitzvos. Okay, I get that. But it's also to ascertain, to understand the purpose of humans in this world that was created. Okay. Shehu lishmor mitzvosav, which is in order to fulfill the mitzvos. Ulahasig miyadias hanimtsaos mishlemuso yisbarach, and to under, there's a lot of medieval philosophical language embedded into this, so we're probably not explaining it to its proper full explanations, but for we'll vaguely explain it in order to lahasig miyadias hanimtsaos, to understand from what was created mishlemuso yisbarach, the perfection of God, Masha Efshel Min Anoshi Lahasik. So basically, to understand God and His metaphysical reality to the best possible ways that a person can, with our limited amount of understanding, Ulios Davik Alav Tamid Lo Yifrad Mimenu, and to completely cling to God, not to separate from Him. So that's a lot, right? that besides just understanding, right? Even if we don't fully understand it, he's tossing in a whole lot of stuff into Lishma, which is lofty on its aspirations here, right? It's A, to fulfill the mitzvos, B, to figure out, you know, sort of why we're here, which is to do mitzvos, to try to understand God, and to cling to God, which is also another vague terminology that would require explication. So that's a high standard here. So if you want to win this like bonus prizes of getting everything you get for learning Lishma, according to this opinion, there's a lot to work on. This is not such an easy thing, which I guess makes sense, right? This is a high level that we're aspiring to, but it's also still a little bit vague what we're trying to do. So he ends off by telling us, Kvar kadam beperek ben zoma chaluk elishma va'alolishma. I already explained to you in the fourth chapter what Lishma and Lo Lishma are. So now, we can start a whole, going down a rabbit hole of looking at other times where we've seen this concept and getting, you know, positively lost in all of those, dozens of sources from previous Mishnah. So he's alluding to, even though it says Perek 4 Mishnah Vav, in most it's Perek 4 Mishnah 5, where we saw this Mishnah of Rabbi Shmuel Beno Omer, Halomed Torah Manas Lamed, Maspikin Biado Lilmod Lamed, Valomed Amanas Lasos, Maspikin Biado Lilmod Lamed, Dishmor Velasos. So we start talking about different motivations to learn Torah. One motivation is that you're learning in order to teach. So that's one level. And if you learn in order to teach, is that considered Lishma? It's a little bit unclear. It says that you're awarded or you're granted to learn and to teach. But if you learn in order to do, which from the simple explanation of the Mishnah, although if you go back to when we did this Mishnah, it's a little more complicated. From the simple explanation of this Mishnah is if you learn in order to do, then you get learning, teaching, protecting, and doing. So it sounds like we have, at least in the formulation here, a hierarchy where learning in order to teach is a level of motivation, and then learning in order to do is the higher level of motivation. And from this Mishnah, the Mefarshim, and as Rav Matzah Yitzhari told us he would, or told us he did in the sixth chapter, said, go back to the fourth chapter, we spoke about this more, he speaks about it here as well in more detail. And we'll see a little excerpt of this in a moment, but it looks like we have a question or two. Freda.
So my question is, I kind of lost track in everything that they're saying. The word Lishma, I can't even figure out at this point, like the root of it in terms of Hebrew language. Maybe Rabbi Shaloni can help me here. Because our original Mishnah said, said, Ha'osek b'Torah Lishma, and I always understood that to mean for its own sake, but I think I'm wrong at this point.
So I don't think you're wrong. I think that the question is, what does that mean, right? For right. its own sake, right? So it literally could mean for its own sake. The question is then, what do you take with that abstract language of for? I'm learning Torah for its own sake, right? Explain it to me. We can. It's one of those things where if you're sort of surface leveling it, it's like, okay, for its own sake, Lishma, I got it. And they're like, hold on a second. I got nothing. Like, explain that to me in practical terms. What am I supposed to be doing? What am I supposed to be having in mind? What am I supposed to be, if assuming it's presumably something to have in mind, maybe not. Is it, what literally do you want me to do? That's the question. So if you're going to turn it into a question of let's say motivation, which seems to be at least the starting point of what Matsya Yitzhari is saying, right? Going back to his explanation, is my motivation is that I want to accomplish mitzvos. Now that sort of fits very nicely with the simple language of the Mishnah 4-5. I'm going to learn in order to do. Right? So that means I'm sitting, practically speaking, what do you want me to do, Mishnah, Brisa, whatever? I'm sitting down to learn. So before I sit down or while I'm sitting, I'm saying I'm doing this in order that I know what to do. That's the goal. And then presumably I will then go and do it. Shelo Lishma would mean, just flipping that, I am sitting and learning in order to get knowledge for some other reason. Now, the question is, what would that other reason be? So if the other reason is to teach, the question really is, okay, is that really a problem? So Mishnah 4-5 seems to be saying, it's not a problem, right? You get learning, you get teaching. It's just not ideal. The ideal motivation is not to learn to teach, but just to learn in order to do. Now, let's say, I guess we'll just take this as he's going to go into this, but we'll frame it. Let's say I'm learning in order to make money. Okay, so that's presumably a not lishma motivation. I'm not doing it for the sake of, for the sake of what? For the sake of, if we're framing it, for the sake of doing. So I'm not learning in order to do. I'm learning in order to make money. Now, it gets a little complicated. Let's say I'm learning in order to learn what to do, and I'm also making money. Okay, so now you get into sort of like subconscious motivations, right? What's your primary? What's your secondary? What's fine.
But I remember when we spoke about that.
Right.
That when you use the word ideal, that helped me a lot.
Right. And let's say I'm learning in, or I have negative, not just to make money. Let's say I'm learning in order to put people down.
Right.
Right. Or I'm learning in order to write my PhD in Talmudic studies and or halachic the history of halacha, and I have no purpose. I'm not trying to learn what to do. I'm not going to do, right? Whatever I learn, I have no interest. So that would be a shelo lishma that might be a little bit more problematic. So if you're going to go, but remember that this framing, okay, so to make it less complicated for now, we have an easy out. What does it mean, lishma? Lishma means I'm learning in order to understand what to do, and then I do. If you go that route, we'll call that the functional route. And I'll show you a source from Rabbi Norman Lamb Zatzal in a moment, at the end, to sort of frame this a little bit. But if you go that functional route, I'm learning in order to do, it's really not that complicated, right? The conversation sort of just stops, right? Mm-hmm. I'm learning in order to know what to do. That's good. You do that. You get lots of reward, lots of awesomeness. Amazing. End of story. The problem where you get more complicated is when you start adding on, as Rav Matisyahu Hitzari did, all of this philosophical flourishing, right? Of, going back to his source, I'm to understand God's metaphysical entity as best as I can, and to then cling to him. And so now it gets a little more complicated, right? That maybe I can still just say it and think I know what I mean, right? So I'm learning in order to do, as well as to connect, as well as to understand sort of deep metaphysical secrets. But it's a little more complicated. So let's go look into what he says here. And as he told us, it's always a good thing if a commentary tells you to look where he says something else. If you want to do a good job, your best bet is to look where he says something else. So let's look where he says something else. This is where his comment in 4-5, where he told us to look in his comment on in 6. So he says, "Ein suffik shemisha lamed al manas shelo lekayim shezem echalas Hashem." It's a very clear statement. If you're learning in order not to accomplish, or you have no intention of actually doing what you are learning, that's bad. Mechalas Hashem, desecrating God's name. Kfar amu perek hayakor. So this is this in the Gemara in Brachos says, "Tachlis chachma tshuva ma'isim tovim." The purpose of learning is in order to do good, kind acts, deeds. So we don't want people to be learning and sort of leading a life of bad character, which gets back to how we started with Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah and the purpose of Perkei Avos to develop character. The last thing we want is somebody who's learned, who doesn't have good character. Now that he's now saying is a little bit of an add-on, because when I'm learning in order to do, you could understand learning in order to do means I'm learning Hilchos Shabbos in order to do the mitzvos of Shabbos. That's one way to understand it, and it makes sense, and it's probably included in this. But notice what he said was, that's not the example he gave. He said learning in order to do means learning in order to do tshuva and ma'isim tovim, right? It's good character. It's again, it relates to being a good person. It's not just about learning in order to do the mitzvah of that thing that I'm learning. That's part of it, perhaps, but it's also learning in order to develop a Torah personality. Avakavana hi shereishis hachachma hi sof hamaaseh. So Seichel Tov L'Chol Oseyem Lom Deyav Lo Nemar El Oseyem Rotsa Lomar Sha Maisa Miyasher Asa Avon Kamo Shekadim Lo'osim L'Shma V'lo Lo'osim Shlo L'Shma. It's through the action, it's through behaviors, it's through the performance of mitzvos that this character is developed and that I become who I'm supposed to become. It requires action. Sha'osa Shlo L'Shma Noach Shlo Nivron. Very harsh statement. Somebody who acts or does, who learns not for the sake of Lishma, whatever that defined here as, for the sake of doing, better that you weren't created. It's a pretty harsh statement. So now, Tosfos, there he quotes here, it's a famous Tosfos on this topic. Pershu Tosfos, Shezer Rotzilomar, Kishalomar Amanas Lekanter, Ve'osila Ramos Bnei Adam. When is it better that you weren't born, if you're learning Shlo Lishma? That means it's a Shlo Lishma that you're learning in order to put people down, to trick people, to manipulate, to deceive, right? So if you're learning, it's not just that you're learning because you don't care. You're actually, it's an immoral learning. It's an unethical learning. You're learning it in order to hurt other people. And especially the way he frames it from the beginning is that the learning is supposed to be for a sake of developing good character and being a role model. Now you're not, it's not just that you're not learning to keep Shabbos. You're learning in order to hurt people. That's a pretty terrible thing. That's better than Shlo Nivra, that you weren't created. V'chein Mari Ahid Yerushalmi, speaking of Divrei Torah, Lasso Sukh, Lasso Sulov, Shalom and Amanas, Shlo Lekayim, Noach Shlo Nivra. So he quotes another source, and tries to bring home that point. And therefore, he sums up here, the next paragraph. Im Kain, Yesh Shalosh Kavanos Belomit. So he nicely frames it. There's three possible intentions that you could have when you're learning. One is the bad one. Achas Hiya Rasha. The evil one. You're doing it in order to hurt people. Terrible. Bad. Shnia. Now we have a middle one. You're learning in order for my own personal benefit, but there's no sin. There's no evilness that's coming out of it. So what are the two examples of that? I enjoy it. I get a kick out of it. I like going to the shir. No purpose in fulfilling. But I like doing it because it's fun. Yeah, so that's a middle ground. That's not terrible, awful, end of the world, shouldn't have been born status. But it's not great, awesome, amazing, you're fulfilling the world's purpose status. It's a middle path of I want some honor. Maybe you'll throw in some money in there. Maybe you'll throw in some enjoyment. It's just good. It's basically a personal ego type of learning. Then the third category is Shlishas L'Shem Shamayim. It's for the sake of heaven. Aha, that's a new phrase. We have not seen that phrase yet. We saw Lishma. Lishma does not mean, Lishma for the sake of, does not necessarily mean for the sake of heaven. This is how he's learning it though. Lishma means for the sake of heaven. Now we have to subcategorize that. So we have bad category, neutral category, good category. Good category has two subcomponents. Two subcomponents are Shem Shtei Bechinos. Im Shechav Shemechavin Lasos Tov Mitzad Mashu Tov Betivo. You're learning because internally you know it's the right thing to do. You have a, let's call this a conscience. You have a striving for good. So you're learning because that brings you towards that path. Vu ad shamayim brings you towards a heavenly path. So that's possibility number one. So there's sort of this, again, this internal fulfilling of a goodness of who I am through that learning process. That's new. We haven't seen that so far. It says, oh, shechavin lasos mashin itstava mehashem yisbarach. Or to do because God commanded you. So now what he seems to be alluding to here, to get, again, this is sort of sub-complicated here. The easy one, for those who want the easy out, lishma means to do in order to fulfill the mitzvos. You're done, right? Fine. But now, once we want to get a little complicated, he adds these two new levels of lishma. Either I'm doing it because it's sort of this internal morality of what's right and what's good, and that drives me. Or I'm doing it because God commanded me to do it. This opens up an interesting question, and sort of we go in different tangents here. Is it better to do the right thing because you know and your conscience tells you it's the right thing to do? Or is it better to do the right thing because God told you to do the right thing? That's an interesting philosophical debate, and you find strands of it. I think we probably alluded to it over the past, at least once over the past few years. That's where he goes now. And he says, so what's better? Is it better to do it because I know it's the right thing or because God commanded me? He actually goes and says that it's better to do it because God commanded you. So you can read that in the last paragraph. I don't want to get into that now, but what you see here is that you have this added level of complication of what lishma means. It could either mean I'm doing it because I know it's the right thing, or I'm doing it because God commanded me to do it. None of those really line up with how he started, which was, you know, you're doing it in order to do the mitzvos. That's not exactly what lishma means here. So this is where I think, and I think he's doing the same type of thing he did in our previous commentary, where from up here, where he said, you know, you have this one aspect is l'kayim mitzvos. Okay, and that's easy, right? Check out if you want to be uncomplicated. But then he goes on and throws in all of these other complications, right? I'm doing it to connect to God, to understand the metaphysics of God, and to really, right? And he does the same thing here. It's like, okay, there's the easy, you know, step one is I'm doing it for the sake of knowing what to do. Great. And then it's bad if you're doing it to hurt people. And then it's medium if you're doing it for your own ego. And then the best lishma way is, let me add some complicated ideas here about what your motivation is. Is it because it's the right thing to do internally, or is it because God commanded you to do it? Chaim.
Well, there's so many things to say. V'higisubo yomam v'loila. Not because. Dar doesn't say v'higisubo yomam v'loila because. V'shinantum l'benachat doesn't say because. Plus we have this concept of gargol, ha-metsuva v'osa, nimisha en ha-metsuva v'osa. So on a very, I don't want to use the word simple or simplistic because that implies a lack of depth, but on a very real level, we're doing it because Hashem commanded it to us. If in the course of doing it, you get some kind of a natural high because learning could be so great, so that's wonderful, but that's not the main purpose of it. So maybe because I missed the beginning of the shir, I don't quite get the whole hullabaloo here. Everybody will find their own side benefits or side, issues with learning. That's just a byproduct of any endeavor of the human mind. Like, you know, Lahavdil, if you're studying science or, God forbid, math, it's like a totally foreign concept to me. But if you're doing it and you're harving and you're striving, and that's a great byproduct. Right. I don't think the Torah is interested in providing you with an additional motive other than Hashem commanded us to do it. Let's do it and finish. Yeah. I mean, I can learn Hilchos Pesach because I'm fascinated by the ins and outs of how they arrive at certain conclusions. But the bottom line is Chelik Hamishi, Mishnah Berurah, Hilchos Pesach. Learn it and finish, and you know what to do for Pesach. Well, you don't need to know what to do for Pesach. You need to know what the laws are. Finished.
Okay, so I hear what you're saying. I'm okay with simplifying it. You're simplifying over here in terms of you're doing because God commanded you. That's what lishma means. I like it. Like, you can go with that. I would say that the added element, again, the alternative possibility is you're doing it in order to know what God commanded you to do, and therefore in order to do it, is a second possible answer that I'm not so bothered by either. I don't think you need to get complicated about that as well, meaning, again, you're not philosophizing about it. It's just pretty straightforward. So either you can go, I think, your route, which you're saying, let's just go simple. I'm doing it because God commanded me. That's what lishma means, and maybe that'll fit nicely with l'shem shamayim concept as well. Doing it because I was commanded. Fine, end of story. Or I can go, I think the other simplified way is I'm doing it because I want to learn what to do, and I'm doing it in order that I understand what to do. Now, that could technically be detracting on some level. You could have said, right, that, you know, if you wanted to go your hardcore route of I'm learning because God commanded me, and you know what? I'm going to separate action from that because it's just about the commandment. So you can make that argument, but that's a pretty controversial argument also. So meaning the fact that we want to incorporate action into the Lishma, I think makes sense from making this not just a cognitive pursuit. Even though you have your mitzvah of Talmud Torah, it can't just be a cognitive pursuit. It has to have some level of action involved. And I think that point, by the way, is going to lead us, hopefully we have time, running out of time, but hopefully we have time to see a little bit of context here about how Rabbi Lam frames this. So you know what, I see a few hands, but let's pause. Let me finish the content here, and then I'll hang out a little bit afterwards to take some comments or questions. The last piece of this, so this is what you have here in front of you is from the Ruach Chaim. Ruach Chaim is Rav Chaim Volozhin, who was a Rosh Yeshiva, the founder of the Volozhin Yeshiva in the early 19th century. And he is a fascinating figure. A lot has been written about him. He's a student of the Vilna Gaon, and he is at the centerpiece of the beginning of the concept of a yeshiva movement, of having actual, you know, big institutions of yeshivos, and Volozhin was the first, you know, big one of that, as well as a fascinating figure in the, you want to use polemics, the fights, the differences of opinions between the Hasidim and the Misnagdim. Right, so the Vilna Gaon was a big led a push against the Hasidim. Hasidim was a big new movement. He thought it was a little bit too dangerous in how far it can go in its practice, and that they emphasized things that were sort of different or somewhat foreign or at least non-mainstream, and that we should go back to sort of mainstream rabbinic type of Judaism without its new, without these new innovations of the Hasidim. A lot more to say about that than one sentence. And for those who want, maybe we can do a series on that. It's pretty, I'm pretty embedded in that historical era now in my reading for fun. So maybe we'll develop something along those lines for the future. But what you have here of Rav Chaim Volozhiner was a student of the Vilna Gaon. So Vilna Gaon's against Hasidim. Rav Chaim Volozhiner is more integrated in dialoguing with them. So he's still not pro-Hasidim, but he's more, and partially because interactions in sort of a later historical period, there's some interesting scholarship on this, but he's more dialoguing with them. And he wrote a very famous book called Nefesh HaChaim. Nefesh HaChaim is basically an argument based on Kabbalistic sources against some of the innovations of the Hasidim. So it's not a rationalist explanation. Sometimes that's how it's, you know, sort of mistakenly framed. The Hasidim are these sort of mystical Kabbalistic ideas, and then the Misnagdim are these rationalists who are, you know, sort of anti-mysticism, anti-Kabbalah, and it's actually very, very far from the truth. The Vilna Gaon himself was a big Kabbalist, was holding a lot in mysticism, and the Chaim Volozhiner, in his polemic against Hasidim, uses texts of Zohar, of Kabbalah, in order to fight against some of the concepts of the Hasidim. And a whole host of things to talk about here. One, for our purposes here, is what does Lishma mean? This is a huge piece of Nefesh HaChaim. What does Lishma mean? So Rav Chaim Volozhiner has a second book called Ruach Chaim, which is his book on Perkei Avos. So in his book on Perkei Avos here, he alludes to a concept which he talks about much more in depth in his Nefesh HaChaim book, which is the polemic against the Hasidim. So let's read a few lines here in the Ruach Chaim, where he says, Kol ha'osek b'torah lishma, Inyon ha'lishma, what does it mean, lishma? Ikara l'shem ahavas ha'torah, to love Torah. I'm doing it because I love Torah. Lamod al shorsha, to work hard, yigia, right, to work hard and to get at its core. Then he says, look in, nefesh hachayim, Shart Dalet, Perek Aleph Beis Gimel, etc. So he cross-references his other works. It's pretty vague and abstract the way he frames it for now, but it's to love Torah, to work hard at it, and to get to the core understanding of what it's about. But, he says, third line, Aval, im yachshov Adam, ki lishma hakavana ledveikus. If you think that lishma means dveikus, which is a highly Hasidic term, which has roots beforehand. If you remember, Matzisau Yitzhar is pre-Hasidus. It's a you know Kabbalistic concept from beforehand. Talks about it. It goes back to Chazal. But it's Dveikus here is a form of clinging to God, some devotional state where you are almost meditative in your connection to God. If that's what you think Lishma means, meaning all you Hasidim out there who think that that's what Lishma means, that's not right, right? Ve'im kein l'dayto v'dimyono yachshov shasok b'shiros v'sishpachos. Right? What lishma means is I'm going to connect. I'm going to devote myself to the emotional connection to God. So let's just sing. Let's just dance. Let's just say Tehillim. Right? U'beprap sefer Tehillim. Aminim zmiros Yisrael. Hama'orim avas Hashem v'kirvaso. It's going to bring me close to God. V'zed dailo. And that's enough. We're going to have a beautiful life. We're going to sing. We're going to love. We're going to devote. We're going to dance. If you think that's what Lishma is, again, you're wrong. And then he goes on and explains why that's not the case. Right? Lishma doesn't mean to connect emotionally to, and I'm oversimplifying what Dveikus here means, but it's not that emotional connection to God, because in that case, why learn Torah? Right, there's no cognitive aspect of that. It's just, you know, devotional. It's just prayer. Okay, and that's a big piece, a big discussion of this is the Hasidim's overemphasis on prayer versus Talmud study. So with that, I'll close with one last source here. This is a photocopy from Rabbi Lam's book Torah Lishma. So Torah Lishma, Torah for Torah's sake. In the works of Rabbi Chaim Volozhin and his contemporaries by Rabbi Norman Land. The whole book is on this topic, right? So if you want to get even more complicated than we did in the past hour or so, you can read his book. But I think that this little snippet that I'm about to show you is a nice way of just giving you a sort of summarizing and giving you what to think about if you wanted to look at and learn more of this on your own. Here it is. So the study of Torah Lishma. So he first starts off and he gives you a little bit of a background in where Chazal talk about it. And we saw some of these quotes from the Mishnah, from the Gemaras in terms of what Lishma means. You know, just sort of skipping along some of these. This is our Mishnah here. Meir says, whoever occupies himself with the study of Torah Lishma merits many things. Rabbi Meir here follows his teacher, Rabbi Akiva, except that the former formulates positively what the latter expressed negatively concerning Torah Shelo Lishma, as we shall see later. The desire to engage in the study of Torah Lishma was considered sufficiently significant to mention in the blessings recited over the study of Torah every morning. Right? We say it in the brachos. It's part of Torah Lishma. Right? This is a really important concept. So then he says it doesn't appear in the Bible. Okay, so it's a later development of what it means. So the great question is, for the sake of what or whom? What does it mean, Lishma? So in classic Rabbi Lam formulation, and he does this so well, he gives you categories. There's three different categories where the commentaries can fall into. And maybe there are subcategories, maybe you can add other categories, but it's very easy to, it's very nice and concise to break it down into three different categories. The first is the functional definition. I alluded to this before. Torah must be studied for the sake of the commandment under consideration. L'shem mitzvah, in other words. Okay, next page here. The purpose of study of the laws of a certain precept is the practice of that precept. To study in order to do lilmod amanas lasos. And that was alluded to in Parak 4, Mishnah 5 that we saw, is that you're doing in order to do. That's functional. I'm learning in order to do. Simple, straightforward. Here's where we get a little more complicated and where sort of the added layers get thrown on here. The second category is the devotional definitions. And this is what Rav Chaim is talking about when he talks about the dveikus, Right? So the devotional definition is Torah must be studied for the sake of heaven, l'shem shamayim. That's not the same thing as l'shem mitzvah. It's for the sake of heaven or for the sake of the commandment to study. So Chaim, that gets back to what you were saying. Not Chaim of Lajon, Chaim of Weinstein, right? So you have l'shem shamayim, and you have that's for the sake of God, or the sake of study, the commandment of Lagisa Yobamam Vlaila, the study of Talmud Torah, which in turn means in response to the one who commands, right? But then at the end, it goes back to God, right? This category comprises the definition of Lishma as studied out of love of God, the Kabbalistic, later the Hasidic interpretations, all of which locate the object of study in a distinctly religious or devotional dimension outside the immediate practical goal of the study in order to do, right? So one category is functional, study in order to do. Forget about God, forget about, right? It's nothing to do with that. I want to know what to do, I'm learning. That's category one. Category two is I'm learning in order on some broad level to connect to God. Somewhat abstract, needs a lot of elaboration, but that's the devotional definition. Now the third definition, and here's where Rav Chaim of Elazhin makes his argument, Rabbi Lamb calls the cognitive definition. This is a definition made famous by Rav Chaim and defines Lishma as Lishem HaTorah. Forget about the mitzvah and forget about God. It's for the sake of Torah itself. Yeah. It will be seen that those who espouse either of the two latter definitions accept the functional definition as a secondary element. So it's not wrong to learn in order to know what to do, but it's secondary. It's more important to learn either, if I'm devotional, to connect to God, or learn in order to understand the Torah better, or at least negatively as the insistence that the Torah study never be pursued with the conscious preclusion of the resulting implementation of the precept studied. So I can't learn in order not to do, but it's learning in order to connect cognitively to understand the Torah, to understand the concepts that I'm learning, not even just in order to do, but on its own, there's a glorification of the study itself. Okay, and then if you just reread that, and we'll close here, and I'll take time for questions. Reread that into what Rav Chaim here says. Inyan lishma ikara l'shem avas haTorah. So he has some element of love of Torah, but it's liagav la'amud al shorsha. To get to the core essence of what you're studying, to understand conceptually the underpinnings of the Torah that you're getting to. So that is different than devotional, and it's different in order of practice to do. So this is a snippet and an introductory point. He then goes on for chapters to explain and go into more details. Again, maybe we'll do it a different time. But I hope this was enough to give you a little bit of a sense as to the complexity of what does it mean, Torah Lishma, and how many layers you can possibly go to in order to explain what it means. For those who want to just do functional, great. I'm learning in order to do. That's sort of an easy way out. Probably even the closest to the essence of the previous Mishnah that we saw. The devotional ones, you want to go that route? There's a lot to learn from the Hasidic aspect and the Kabbalistic aspect, the devotional aspect. It was all alluded to here, and Rav Matisyahu HaYitzhari as well. He used that word dveikus, which is the same devotional element of it. And then this third aspect of Rav Chaim, which is that you're glorifying the Talmud study for the study on its own, and that actually creates almost a whole ethos of what yeshiva is about. And then you have back and forth controversies. What should we focus on more? You're just focusing on study? Well, what about prayer? Well, you're just focusing on study? Enter the Musar movement. What about character? Right? And that was the Musar movement in the 1850s, which we alluded to previously in the previous two shiurim, is on some level a counterpoint to the hardcore yeshiva aspect of just focusing on the cognitive. Well, circling back, isn't Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah? Isn't we're reading Pirkei Avos in order to build our character so that we can get the Torah? Well, if you're just focusing on the cognitive, when are you working on the midos and the character? And that's where the Muslim movement came as sort of a counterpoint to that. Okay, so a lot to think about here, a lot to analyze, a lot to go further on. Next time we meet, we still have, right, we've done around 15 words out of a 100 or so word brisa here. So we got a lot to do here in the first brisa. If you thought the sixth chapter was going to go quickly, we still got a whole host of stuff to do. Okay, so with that we'll close, and I see a few hands. So let's take some. Paul, I think you were first.
Okay, in my opinion, if you study Torah because God commanded it, there is fear and guilt involved in it. You should learn Torah, in my opinion, to improve yourself as a Jew and as a human being.
Okay, I will, you know, in terms of whether or not the commandment automatically means guilt, you know, could be if it does, that's not what it's supposed to do. And they might need some working on various levels of teaching of where that came from, but as well as maybe some inner work. But I understand where you're coming from. And your second point in terms of in order to develop yourself and become a better person, I think that we saw that at least as one of the, you know, 15 different things that Rav Matisyahu Yitzhari tried to sneak in his definition of Lishma, you know, one of them was in order to, you know, to sort of become better and do, you know, that's part of the performance aspect. So I agree that that's an important piece as well. And so maybe, you know what, maybe there's so many different explanations so that, you know, everybody can hang their hat on one of them, and you know, as long as it's not shelo lishma, you can figure that this one speaks to me, and that's what I'm going to call that's what I'm going to call lishma. Maybe it's a pluralistic way of looking at all these different explanations. Rabbi Shiloni.
Yeah, I want to borrow this lishma from a different case. Somebody writes a get leisha. It has to be lishma. It has to be her name. Exactly. So, and I'm writing, I cannot write a get for somebody who has the same name or something like this. That lishma. That's it. Simplified, like what Chaim said before. And that's what it means, lishma.
Mm-hmm.
Now it becomes more complicated. Lishma means HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'Yisrael v'Orayt HaAchad Hu. As Leshem Hashem, Leshem HaTorah, Leshem Am Yisrael. And you lament, it starts to go, yeah, to the side,
right?
To add more things.
Yeah. So you're.
Ma leshem haTorah, ani lomet ki ani tzarich limot Torah. Period.
Yeah, but I agree, but you're also sort of contradicting yourself a little bit in terms of borrowing from the get. Then it's not l'shem Torah. Period. It's a little bit different. I can send this to you if you want. But if you look here in the next paragraph that we didn't read, he says the study of Torah l'shma according to the category's definition is just adumbrated, must be viewed in the general halacha context of the concept of l'shma. So he then goes and says exactly your point, meaning you want to start off, what does lishma mean? Well, let's look in halacha what lishma means in other contexts. So he says here that there's lishma could mean, but that's not so clear too, because you have different types of lishma even within halacha context. You have lishma in korbanos, in sacrifices, which means something different than the lishma in get. Right, so now you have it's basically a vague term wherever you go. So then the question is what you want to borrow in terms of what it means lishma here. It is not such a clear cut, you know, A equals B type of association. But if you know, if you want, again, I'm happy to share this with you. He shows here he goes in that route. So he goes and he talks here about get, and he talks here about sota and Torah scroll, phylacteries, mezuzah, right? All these things need to be written lishma. You know, what does that mean in terms of sanctity, in terms of functionality? So good point, needs a lot more analysis.
Right, okay.
Okay. All right, so let's call it a day. Guys and gals, we have so many Torah opportunities over Shavuos. If you can make it in person, great. Unfortunately, we cannot Zoom them over Shavuos, but if anybody's looking for any materials to learn, I'd be happy to recommend stuff that you can either about this and related to this or separate things. We will, feel free to be in touch and we will recommend some stuff. Okay, so everybody should have a Chag Sameach. And then we will see you hopefully next week.
Thank you, Rabbi Schiffman. Chag Sameach to all.
Thank you.
Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach. Bye-bye.
Chag Sameach.